Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to be here again this morning and just the opportunity to communicate your word. And I just pray that as my nerves, for whatever reason, are a little rattled this morning, even after a five-week series of how to get control of them, God, I just pray that you take control of them and that you take over and that your message be communicated clearly through what you put on my heart this morning. And so, God, we thank you for this time and just ask for your spirit to work in our hearts. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week I started thinking about life mottos, okay, and how a lot of people have life mottos for how they approach things that they encounter, all right? And so I started to make a list of some of those. And tell me if you've heard any of these before. Some people believe in approaching life by the whole take the bull by its horns mentality. Anybody ever hear that saying before? All right. Or the one step at a time. Or slow and steady wins the race. I've even heard people taking it from the perspective of lock and load. And recently somebody, I was talking with someone this, I think it was this week or last week, and they had shared, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Now, I don't know if that's true about everything, okay? But I respect them and you know, appreciate that. But I started to give some thought about what mine would be. If I had a life motto up until this point, what would that be? And the more thought I put into it, I decided that it could come down to a single, powerful, influential word. Procrastination. All right? Maybe it's not a powerful word, okay? It is influential, just not for the good. And I know I have a few disappointed looks right now. Please, there are a lot of people in this room that live by the same word that I live by. All right? You know, as far as when it comes to procrastination, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The whole, I have a big proposal that's due at work and the deadline is quickly approaching. I'm going to start on it just as soon as I hit level 20 on this game on my phone. Right? Right? Or, my roof is leaking and so I have to get to repairing it right after I finish reviewing the entire owner's manual of my car, because you'll never know when I need to figure out how to change my indicator bulb. And now that we're on to owner's manual, come to think of it, I haven't read the owner's manual for the refrigerator either. That could come in handy. Or, I have to get my kids from school. I can't be late again. I've got to get them. But I'm gonna leave to get them just as soon as I finish this full autobiography on Bob Ross and try to figure out why he thought his trees were so happy. All right, I did that once. Some of my youth are obsessed with Bob Ross. I can't figure it out. My daughter's obsessed with Bob Ross, too. That's even weirder. All right? So, but for me, procrastination became a way of life. And although it's not as bad now as it has been in the past, if I'm honest, I still procrastinate. I procrastinate with things, you know, all different types of things. But in order to help you understand how bad my procrastination is, I'm going to invite you to come into my time machine. And we're going to go back to when Oren was a fifth grader, okay, a fifth grader at St. Michael's Elementary School. And I had it in my first research essay ever due. And we were allowed to choose whatever topic we wanted. And it could be handwritten, but the rule was you did have to cite resources. And so after taking some time to think about what I was going to write on, I decided I was going to write on the Mariner Space Project of the 1960s and 1970s. It was a series of probes and satellites that went to take pictures of Venus and Mars and other things. I don't know why I chose that. I was a weird kid, all right? And I think I bought a book at a yard sale that was on this topic, okay? But I was, when it came to schoolwork, I was an independent kid. I didn't have people keeping tabs on me saying, hey, your assignment is due, or you have to start working on this. I did it. I knew that it was when it was due, and I just worked on it. And so when it came to the assignment, every day I would say, well, you know, I don't know how to start it. So I'm going to start it tomorrow. And the next day, I don't know how to start it. I'm going to work on it tomorrow. And the day after that, I don't know how to start it. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And before you knew it, time passed. And one day I'm sitting in my class, and my teacher said, students, don't forget your research assignment is due tomorrow. And it's a huge part of your grade for this class. Let's just say I went into panic mode. All right, as soon as I got home, I was still in panic mode, and I thought, I'm going to pump this essay out. Just as soon as I watch a few of my shows in the afternoon and play my game and eat dinner and do everything else that I typically did in the afternoon and evening. But by the time all of that was done, it was dark outside. And it was late. I didn't have time to write an essay now. But I knew what I had to do. I knew what I had to do as much as I didn't want to do it. I knew I had to go to bed and wake up super early the next morning to do it the day that it was due. And so I did that. I guesstimated how long it would take, and I set my alarm clock for that, and then I went to bed. And I kid you not, no exaggeration, at 3 a.m., I was awakened to the beautiful sound of... Got up, hopped out of bed. I had one of those bunk beds with the desk underneath. Took a deep breath and thought, I'm going to write something beautiful. I'm just kidding. I was barely awake. I don't remember what I thought. It probably was not that, okay? But I sat down with my resources, my book, a couple encyclopedias, and I got to work. And I got it done. And so that day I went and I handed it in, and about a week later, I got the assignment back, the paper back with our grades. I flipped to the back page where I knew the grade would be, and there glistening on the page was a 94, an A. I was pretty impressed. And some of you right now are probably thinking, come on, Oren, that was fifth grade. How would you remember you got a 94 on that paper? Let me just show you. Okay. Along with being a procrastinator, I'm also a hoarder. Okay. No, my mother gave me a box of old assignments that I had done throughout the years, just as you know, to keep and I thought, well, you'll never know when I'll need to use one of these, and there it is. I'm using one now. Don't talk to my wife about it, though. It's a source of tension between us, as I never throw anything out. But what I realized was I pulled off the impossible. I pulled off the impossible, and not only that, I learned something about myself. That I do my best work last minute and under pressure. I was like some kind of like paper writing superhero. But now fast forward 9 years with me. This has still been my mentality when it came to academics, and I did very well in school. So I mean, I was pulling this off. I don't know how. But fast forward 9 years, I'm a first year student in undergraduate at Messiah College. And I was taking a higher level, an upper level Western Civilization course. It was awful, all right? Unfortunately, there were no courses left that were my level of classes. And that's because I procrastinated when it came time to registering for classes, so they all got taken up. And so I was stuck with this higher level Western Civ class. And I was taking it with two second-year students and one third-year student that were also on my dorm floor. And so we had this big paper that was due. And somehow I managed to leave it until the night before it was due. Not a good idea. It was only 10 to 12 pages, so I could knock that out in a night. But about 11 p.m. or midnight, still have not started yet, I decided to take a stroll down the hallway to see if my other buddy had started his or how far he was with his paper. Now, the other two, I knew that they not only started, they had finished it, overachievers, right? But I go and I throw this guy's door open, and right as I'm about to say, hey, Seth, I noticed something weird. Something weird was going on. You know, it's not every day you see someone duct taped to their chair with their hands duct taped to their desk over their keyboard in the typing position. And before I could think of an intelligent question like, huh? He looked up. He shouted two words. Run, boy! I turned in panic and saw the other two grab a roll of duct tape and charge at me. I ran down the hallway. I was screaming like a little girl in a scary movie. It was awful. I get to my room. They force their way into my room. I'm sitting there going, no, no, no. Well, you know, I found myself duct taped to my chair with new motivation to get my paper done. But I did it. I got it all done in one night. In the next morning, I was exhausted. I had a friend, one of those guys who took the class with me, for this 8 a.m. class, keep in mind. I forgot to mention that. He made some coffee to help wake me up. Everybody called him Redneck. Little advice, don't have somebody named Redneck make you coffee. I'm still scarred, won't touch it. It's just, it's awful. No, I'm joking. He's a good guy. But I got to class. I handed my paper in. And a week later, I get my grade back. And it was not the same result that I was used to. I got a D. I got a D. And it was at that point that I realized procrastination can, in fact, hurt you. I fought to get my class grade up in that class, just to the point where it would count. At Messiah, I don't know if it's still the same way, but if you got lower than a C, your class did not count. You still passed it, but you didn't get the credit work for it. And so I had to fight to get it to where it would just count. It was awful. But you see, often we find that the more critical the thing is that we continually put off, the bigger and more significant the consequence will be. And so I want to talk to you this morning about a couple of time wasters as a part of this TimeWise series. Specifically, I want to talk about procrastination and perfectionism. Okay? And before we move into Scripture, I want first to understand what procrastination is. So the definition of procrastination is the act of delaying or postponing something, to put off intentionally or habitually. Now, if you were to read any kind of research articles on this or scientific articles on this, what you would find is a lot of times they create categories, different categories for studying procrastination. Sometimes it's academic procrastination. Sometimes it's health procrastination. Sometimes it's decisional. Sometimes it's compulsion. There's all different kinds of ways that they look at procrastination. But based on all these different categories, it's assumed that most of us, if not all of us, have experienced procrastination at least once in our life, or whether it's on a bigger scale or at least a smaller scale. And so, as if I wasn't already a professional on the topic of procrastination, I decided to look even further into it. And so I watched a TED Talk. You guys familiar with TED Talks? I watched a TED Talk on procrastination by a guy named Tim Urban. All right, it was a great talk. I really recommend checking it out, just not when you have something more important that you should be doing. Okay? But Tim was explaining that in order to better understand procrastination, he wanted to look at the brain's functioning of a procrastinator and a proven non-procrastinator. And so as he's explaining this, he puts up a couple of pictures of brain scans on there and uses them to talk about the functioning of the brain to explain procrastination. And so we're going to take a look at them this morning, but I'm not a brain expert. And so I'm going to do my best to walk through the scan, and just as he did with his audience, and hopefully you guys can track with me. So if we are able to get the first scan of the non-procrastinator's brain up there, Joe. Okay, the first brain scan shows non-procrastinator's brain, and it is a rational decision maker. Okay, able to think long term. Basically, we can sum it up as not a child. All right, now can we get the picture of the scan for the procrastinator's brain? Yes. There is a definite difference in there. Okay, still the same functioning ability, but there's this instant gratification factor that contributes to that. And so according to Tim, the procrastination happens when we weigh what is easy with what is difficult. And we make our decision based on our own concerns, values, and interests. And sometimes, based on those things, the easy outweighs the difficult side. And then as Tim Urban warns, this is what happens. Right. I know that function very well. But the question is, why does it happen? Why does procrastination happen? So I want to take a look at seven reasons. Now, the list of why procrastination happens is not limited to these seven reasons. But these are seven popular reasons why it happens in people. So, number one, sometimes people procrastinate because the task that is expected requires effort and hard work. Effort and hard work. And this is also a reason why we tend to focus more on smaller tasks than taking on one big task. We want to feel like we're accomplishing a lot of easy things or a lot of things in general than to focus on an entire day of work and maybe feel like you've wasted it, like you haven't even accomplished one task. As Pastor Bill was preaching in his message coming into the new year, he even mentioned how sometimes he'll create a to-do list and he'll even add things on the to-do list that he's already completed just so that he could cross them out. Anybody else do that? I know I have done that in the past, okay? Right. Because why? It makes us feel good when we see all these check marks or lines going through things. It's like, man, I did a lot today. This is great. Makes us feel good, but we avoid the difficult because what we actually look for is easy and fun a lot of times. The second thing, lack of motivation. Lack of motivation, this is where depression, this is where low self-esteem, this is where being tired play significant roles. Number three, unclear on how to start. Sometimes we procrastinate and we delay doing what we have to do because we're unclear what it is we should be doing or how we begin that process. Kind of like myself with that essay that I had to do in the fifth grade. How do you start something like this? And sometimes it's because we lack the skills needed to accomplish a task. So sometimes we'll try to rework and figure out how do we still get to the end result without needing that skill. Number four, it's a fear of the unknown. Perhaps it's a fear of failure, where shame and embarrassment might come in with that. Perhaps it's a fear of success and what that might mean for you, added responsibilities, added pressure. And we may not want that. Number five, distracted. Sometimes the thing that should hold our interest doesn't hold our interest as much as something else does. And so we gravitate to what holds our interest a little bit more. And number six, resistance. This is the whole, I'll do it later. I'll do it later because I don't want to do it right now. And I don't want to do it right now because I just don't want to do it. And then the last one, and we're going to talk about this one a little bit later, is perfectionism. Now, looking at this list, it's clear that we cling to time wasters because we either don't value our time or we value it in the wrong way. We don't value it as a gift that God has given us to accomplish what He has sent us to do. And so we're going to take a look at Scripture, and we're going to start in Proverbs 6. If we can get Proverbs 6 up there, verse 6. And if you want, you can look in your own or it's up on the screen for you. If you need that. But it says in Proverbs 6, starting verse 6, it says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, without having any chief, officer, or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." Solomon references this phrase, sluggard, both in this reading and the next one that we're going to do. And some of you, in the version that you're reading from, may have the lazy man, or may have the slacker. But the translation in the Hebrew is actually, it does mean sluggard or slothful. And so what this proverb is kind of addressing is the procrastinator. It addresses those that are slow or dragging their feet or resting often or maybe taking the easy road rather than doing what is important and significant to accomplish right now, rather than taking on the priority. And Solomon mentions, can we go back to the last slide? He mentions an ant. And basically what he is referencing is he's saying, sluggard, you need to look at the habits of the ant and you need to learn from the ant. Well, if I'm honest, I did not know very many things about ants. So where do you go with this? So rather than prepare the sermon and continue preparing the sermon as I should have done, I decided to invest in researching on ants. And I read a ton about ants. I read too much about ants. I read things about ants that probably 95 to 98% of what I gained in my knowledge of ants, I will never need to use ever again in my life. Except for that random Jeopardy question that might pop up, or maybe has even already popped up in the last 30 years, therefore it'd be completely useless. But what I did learn about ants is that ants take close to 250 naps per day. It's pretty impressive. Now, why would Solomon say, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways? Why would he say, go and learn from the habits of the ant? If he's trying to address somebody being a sluggard, why would you tell him to model their life off someone or something that naps 250 times a day? Well, you see, the ant's naps last only a little over a minute. And so when you add all of it up, it comes out to be about 4 hours and 45 minutes a day. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to model their life off of that and only sleep 4 hours and 45 minutes a day, every day, because that'd be a lot of grumpy people, okay? And we don't want that. But the point is that they sleep when it's necessary to rest. But the remaining time in the day, they work with intention and purpose. And for you and I, that intention and purpose might come with our family. It might come with our career. It might come with our home. Or most important, the mission that God has called us to. But he goes on and saying, without any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Now, if I was to poll everyone here, a lot of people would probably know that each colony of ants has a queen. Right? But the worker ant, the individual worker ant, something that's interesting about them is that they're unaware of what is occurring throughout the entire colony, unlike the queen. They usually only focus on what is happening right around their immediate environment. Yet they still work diligently to serve the colony and, most importantly, the queen. Now, many ants won't see their impact on the colony as a whole or how their work benefits the queen, but they're driven to not waste time and to do what is most important to do when it matters. Now, if we take this from a spiritual perspective, I want to ask, how many of us are living our life like the ant? And how many of us are living life like the procrastinator? Pastor Dennis shared in his message last week that there are 604,800 seconds in a week. How do you spend yours? How do you spend yours? Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. We need to ask God to help us see that time is short. There is urgency to the kingdom work, and we need to do it while we're still able to do it. Sometimes the desire to do what is easy is far more appealing in our life than maybe sharing our faith with somebody who doesn't know Christ but needs to know Christ. Sometimes we'd rather count ceiling tiles or alphabetize our spice rack then go and share with a neighbor or a coworker about what it is that we believe and invite them to come to church. And if you alphabetize your spice rack, I'm not hating on you at all. Because I get it, it's still efficient, right? When you need the paprika, you go right to Pete. Is that a spice? Paprika? Yeah, okay, good. I was like, man, where did that come from? All right. But when it comes down to it, are we wasting our time, or are we working as we should work like the ant? Verse 10, if we actually go, can you go back one slide? There you go. Verse 10, it says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Too much avoidance will rob you of the opportunity to serve God the way that He intended for you to. As Pastor Dennis also shared last week, sometimes we look at our time as we count it by the days, the weeks, the months that pass. But instead, we should be looking at it and measuring it by how we use that time to impact the kingdom. If we go to Proverbs 24, Solomon addresses the sluggard again. He said, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. Oh, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, and the ground was covered with nettles, and the stone wall was broken down. And then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber. Can you go to that slide? A little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Procrastination, I can speak from experience. Procrastination is dangerous. It is detrimental. It is something that will hurt us and damage us over time. And a lot of times, we already discussed, it's choosing the easy over the difficult. It's choosing what we prioritize and just want to see success in our own life over what God actually intends for us. When we sideline critical things in our life that need to be accomplished, the consequences are often large. They're a lot larger than if we were just to sideline the smaller, insignificant tasks. If we sideline those smaller things, the consequences are often a lot smaller, or there's no consequences at all. You know, I gave the example earlier that nobody will ever die if I don't play the game on my phone. That's true. But my kids might not know the relationship that they need with Jesus Christ as much if I do. It's not always easy to follow God. And sometimes it's just outright hard. It's really difficult. It's hard on your time. It's hard on your status and popularity. It's hard on your finances. It's hard on your pride. But the habit of procrastinating, if we don't address it in the areas that it is in our life, then pretty soon it will occupy most areas in our life. Spiritually, when we get in the habit of and choose to sideline God and His purpose for our life, the thorns will grow overwhelmingly. Our defenses will be broken down like the stone wall. We will be robbed of our mission that He intended for us. We'll be robbed of our relationship with Jesus Christ in the time that we should be investing in Him. And rather than work like the ant towards difficult yet eternal kingdom impact, we waste valuable time chasing temporary ease. It's not forever. It's just easier right now. In fact, a lot of times the easier right now means harder later on. A potential cause of procrastination, the second time waster that I want to discuss with you, is called perfectionism. Perfectionism. Now, when I was in undergraduate, actually graduate and undergraduate levels, I did a lot of research. And I worked for a couple of different professors on both levels. And in the undergraduate, one of the guys that I worked under, his name was Mark Che. And Mark Che wanted to look at the relationship, the correlation between procrastination and perfectionism. And so he asked if I would pick that project up for him. And so I said, sure. And as I got deeper into the literature and I started administering surveys around campus, he came to me and said, well, you know what? Why don't you just make this your senior thesis? Okay, that's even easier. That's less work on me. So I did it. And I learned so much. And not just about procrastination. I got a little bit of insight into my own life. And it was actually kind of funny. I missed one of the deadlines. I think it was like the rough draft for my conclusion, my results in my conclusion section. And I remember him saying, "Why didn't you get it done?" And I don't know what kind of look was on my face, but he eventually answered his own question. He said, "You know what? Never mind. I have a feeling I'm going to read the answer to that question when I read your paper." And I thought, well, yeah, I actually learned the same thing. I learned why I keep avoiding this paper. And that's because sometimes procrastinators are perfectionists. And the reason they procrastinate is because they seek perfection. Perfectionism, if we can get that up there, is the refusal to accept any standard short of perfection. What we found in the research was that procrastination was related to perfectionism because people would put things off afraid that the finished product would not actually be perfect and that people would judge them over it. And rather than admit that they couldn't produce perfection, they just procrastinated instead to give themselves an excuse, a reason. Well, I didn't have a chance for it to be perfect because I didn't have enough time. I was famous for using that. Still am sometimes. But the mindset behind a person's worldly perfectionism is so that the world would see them as this flawless individual. And sometimes they would see themselves as this I'm really good at what I do. And sometimes it's just not even that. Sometimes it just comes down to they want others to see them as successful and they want to see themselves as successful. In Galatians 1:10, says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Seeking the approval of man? It's seeking to be accepted by man. Many times we strive for perfection because we think that's the only way that other people will value us. They won't value or love or accept us if we fall short of that mark. And so, if we can't be perfect, we give ourselves an excuse of why it's not perfect. It works as a defense for us. There's still a chance that in the future somebody will value me. I just didn't have the opportunity right now because I didn't have enough time. But in the future, I'm going to put my best foot forward and somebody will value me and what I do in the future. That's the mindset. And the problem with the perfectionistic mindset is that there's only one who is actually flawless. And we're not him. We're not even close. Yet we waste our time trying to attain perfection, or we procrastinate because we know we can't reach it. And we fail to realize that we can still be accepted. Romans 5, verse 6 through 8 says, For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God showed that He accepts us even when we aren't perfect. So why do we focus so much on striving for perfection so that others around us will accept us when the God who created all of them already accepts us, even as the mess that we are? Rather than work like ants towards kingdom impact, ants who know what their task is, know what their responsibility is, but they don't worry about what other people are doing or what other ants are doing, what other ants think of them, what other ants are judging them. Rather than work like that ant and giving God our best, we waste valuable time chasing temporary acceptance. The acceptance won't last forever, just like the ease. But at what point, Paul addresses perfection, at what point is it okay to chase perfection? I would say as long as you're the purpose of it is to bring you glory, it is never okay. The angel Lucifer learned and was removed from God's presence. Why? Because he thought he could be like God. And he not only thought he could be like God, he wanted the other angels to praise him, to worship him, to bring him glory. But that's not what his purpose was. His purpose, the responsibility he had, was to lead others to glorify God. But in Philippians 3, Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, complete, nothing left to work on. He says, but instead, I press on. It's a constant pursuit. And not because he's doing it for his own glory, not because Paul wanted to be praised, but because he acknowledges that he is Christ. He acknowledges he was called to higher living, and that doesn't mean so then he could go around and point judgmentally at everybody else who's a non-follower and say, no, I'm better because of where I am in life. I'm better because of the fact that I'm closer in a relationship to God. Because that's not his to receive glory about. The work done to draw him closer to this holy living is work that's done by the Holy Spirit, not by him. But what he understands is that he owes it all to Christ. And so therefore, he owes Christ his very best. So he strives not for perfection for his own glory, but he strives to give Christ his absolute best. Paul understands that pressing on like the ant and not wasting time is critical. He understands that time is too valuable and our window for impact is too short to be wasting time. Another thing, this is just a side note, another thing that we found in that research was that both procrastination and perfectionism had this positive correlation with lower levels of life satisfaction. I'll break that down and explain. The more you procrastinate, the less satisfied you are with life. You're not getting things done. You're not impacting others. Long term, you realize you've just been wasting time. The more you're perfectionistic means the less satisfied you will be with life. Because the more that you chase after perfection is the more that you'll realize you can never attain perfection. Therefore, you'll never live up to your expectation and you'll never be satisfied. And so as we close, I have a couple of questions that I want to leave you with this morning. Some self-evaluation time. Number one, are you wasting time with worldly procrastination and worldly perfectionism? Or do you press on like the ant that Solomon described? Number two, do you focus on what is easy or do you take time on on what is difficult? Do you spend the time and invest the time in what is difficult when it comes to your spiritual life? For some people, you're not in the habit of reading God's Word daily. And so to take that on, that's a difficult task. That is an absolute difficult task. And rather than continue to push it off and say, yeah, I can get so much other stuff done, it's making the difficult decision to prioritize what you were meant to prioritize the whole time. Investing in a relationship with God. We just finished a whole series last month on anxiety. And for some people, having a conversation about your faith is an anxiety-provoking thing. And so do you put that off and say, you know what, it's just not today. I don't need to talk to that person. I know they need Jesus, but I don't need to talk to them right now. I got other things to do, or I'm just trying to find the fun road. Or do you take on the difficult thing and say, no, they need to hear. Time is short. The opportunity to impact is limited. I need to share now. You don't know when that person's last day will be. I don't know when my last day will be. Question three. As was mentioned last week in the message by Pastor Dennis, are you counting time wasted by hours and days? Or are you counting it by missed opportunities or opportunities wasted to impact the kingdom? If you'll take a moment and think with me, just visualize this for a second. If your time wasting is not addressed, one day you will find yourself at the end of your life journey, at the end of your road, looking back and thinking, if I only made the choice to impact others rather than avoiding the difficult things, imagine what God could have done through me. Imagine how God could have used me in so many people's lives. You have the opportunity to make that decision this week, today. You have the opportunity to make the decision to be like the ant in your spiritual life, to be like the ant in the Great Commission, to be like the ant that God called you to be in His colony. And if you want to hear more about how to prioritize or how to put procrastination and perfectionism and other things like other time wasters like that to the sideline, then I want to encourage you, come back next week. Come back next week as we continue to dive in this series on what you can do to impact the kingdom, how you can use your time to impact the kingdom, how you can be time wise. Wise with your time as God called you to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for this portion of Scripture that we dove into. To be as blunt as to call it a sluggard. Do I want to view myself? Do I want to view my life motto as being a sluggard? Or would I rather take on the responsibility of the ant? God, I pray that throughout this week, your Holy Spirit will just put that question on us. How is it that we're using all our time in the week? Are we chasing after time wasters? Are we avoiding the difficult things you've called us to? Or are we pressing on like that ant? Or are we making good use of the limited time we have? God, I thank you that even though we're messed up, even though we waste time, you still love us. You still give us new chances, new opportunities. But help us to number our days. Help us to not take that for granted. To miss out on that. To be robbed of that. Use us in a big way, God. Teach us to use our time wisely. To impact others for your kingdom. God, we thank you for the work you're doing.